Blog Talk Radio.
And you'll be able to listen to the show.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. Oh, the power.
Hello.
Hey, good evening. Can anybody hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I can hear you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, go ahead and do your intro, Sister First Lady.
Oh. Good evening, podcast audience. Welcome to Hodge to Hodge Podcast Radio, where we would get a word from the messenger. So without further ado, but before I go there, co-producer, I understand what you mean about that music, because it does something to me when I hear that song also. The spirit is with us. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce to some and present to others the messenger, Rondaya.
Bless you all. Bless you. Co-producer's catching stuff up on them. I said, a co-producer changing stuff up on us.
He's bringing
exciting ideas to the podcast. This word will not return void.
Amen.
But we thank each and every one of you that have taken the time to come out tonight. Tonight. We're talking about, once again, going within. And part of the reason I wanted to readdress this issue is because today being as they... the first Sunday. And first Sunday is Communion Sunday. And it's... I know it's symbolic, but the problem that I have with it being symbolic is just the fact that so many people take it as gospel per se, and I guess it's just mind-boggling to me how on so many different occasions we can constantly see, and for lack of a better word, I'll call it buffoonery, right in front of us. And we know with the sense that God has given us, that it just doesn't make sense, but we still follow behind it religiously. And we have got to come to the knowledge that we are spiritual beings, not religious beings. And following behind these religions that were created with the intention of being a service, they're missing the point, and it's messing with the population's mind because it has them believing stories that just aren't true. And I'll just use as a topic of discussion for us today, this crucifixion. We want to, in one breath, say that Jesus died for our sins. They'll tell you throughout that when Jesus died, he took all the sins with him to the cross. And this is what enabled us to have life and have it more abundantly. But if Jesus took all the sins to the cross, why do they keep throwing sins up in our face? And I'm just going to put that out to the podcast members and visitors that we have here today. I'm just putting it out there just for a topic, and I'm quite sure there might be someone here that disagrees with it and think that it is more to it. But I just want to put it out for a topic for us to discuss and see if we can just get people to just use the God-given sense that he's given us. We are intelligent creatures created by God himself. And we have allowed people to deprive us of who it is that we really are. And when I've said numerous times that we are all a part of God, I am not saying this in any kind of blaspheming way. I'm saying it in a way for us to acknowledge just who we are. Because until we come to know who we are and whom we are, we can't achieve and do the things that is necessary for us to live our life to the fullest. Now, a lot of people might think that they're living their lives to the fullest, but what they're really doing is living a life that someone else has predestined for them, and that someone else wasn't God. God gave you that free will. God gave you dominion over your life. And nothing we do, well, not nothing, but the majority of things we do it to please others and not ourselves. And those same people, they don't change their life to please you. They'll tell you, do as I say, not as I do. Use that type of an example that they want to do. But we have to understand that we are the masters and the creators of our lives. We have been given the godlike abilities to create whatever life it is that we want. But we deprive ourselves of it because of our tendency to pay more attention to what it is that, as they would say, have been left on record. Things that we do, the things that are going to please our parents in the sake of religious sake instead of spiritual. They'll discuss with you on any topic that God is spirit, but then they turn around with all of these different formalities, all of these different things that you are supposed to be doing, quote unquote, to please God. But to please God, you have to first be able to please yourself and be the best you. That is what your mission or your divine creation was about. Using the God within you to experience life to its fullest. After saying that, I'm just going to open up and just let us discuss some of the crazy things. I've got to say, you know, now that I've been seeing the light and not the religious light, but the spiritual light. And the spiritual light, as the word said, the spirit will bring back to your remembrance all truths. And when these things are being said to me, it is a feeling, it is something inside of me that just does not allow something that I've agreed with most of my life. But it just doesn't allow it to set still now, as if there is something wrong with what it is that we've been told. So I just want to ask the panel that's on tonight, how can we, and how do we constantly, with the knowledge of what is written, accept that to be God's word? Any input from anyone on how we can just blindly accept what it is that they're saying is God's word to be God's word?
Yes, go ahead, Cole. Yes, does someone want to say something?
Yeah, my brother, you're on. Go ahead and say what you wanted to say. I heard a hello. Did you change your mind?
Hello. No, I'm still here. Listen.
Okay.
Let me introduce myself. My name is DJ Dre. I'm from WTMH Radio. I have a little radio show. But I just stumbled onto you tonight for the first time. I'm a first-time listener, and I find this topic extremely fascinating. I have quite a few thoughts on it. Let's give you a little background as to who I am. I am the son of a Baptist preacher. My parents sent me to Catholic school, and I took religion courses. I was very close at one point in time in my life to joining the seminary myself. I'm a true believer in God. I believe there is a supreme being, that there is a father figure. And he doesn't have to necessarily be a father, because we make that gender male, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. And I say that because as I studied religion, all religions have universal messaging. That universal messaging is that the best way to serve man is to serve God is to serve man. To be kind to your neighbor, to look after the hungry, to heal the sick, to clothe the naked. Those are the universal messages.
Amen.
You understand that?
Uh-huh.
Where I have a problem with religion, which is dogma and ceremony, mm-hmm. has been the start of many, many wars.
Mm-hmm.
It is a way for man to discriminate against his neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
If we follow the universal truths that all people are children of God, are children of the Most High, then we can all be greater in our lives if we take care of each other.
That's
let
right.
Go of,
amen
let
to
go
that.
Of
mm-hmm.
the dogma, let go of the ceremony, practice truly loving God by truly loving man.
Uh-huh.
Now, mm-hmm. I'm that guy, you know, I live a very crazy life. I'm a DJ. So I go out, I'm in clubs, and I do all kinds of stuff. I do stand-up comedy, and I'm not clean. I do all of these things. But this is what I believe. And again, I got to this point in my life because I studied religion.
Mm-hmm.
When you study religion, that doesn't mean that I studied only the faith that I was brought into. Because
mm-hmm.
my question has always been, why is one faith superior to the other? What makes
my brother,
one faith
if
the
I might
way
jump.
To get to God and discriminates against the other?
If I might jump right in there, my brother, there is no, we believe, there is no faith. I mean, there is no denomination. There is no anything, because what all of these factions are designed, again, to compartmentalize and keep people separated. Because if
right.
ministers, If ministers were to tell people the honest truth, that guess what? You don't need me to get to God. Because let me tell you something. You already have, God is in you. When he blew breath into man, that means every man, every living creature belongs to him. He is a part of. So the life that we live, and again, we believe on the Messenger podcast that whatever life you live, that is the life you are supposed to live. Live your best life. You don't have to fit into. Go ahead, my brother.
Oh, I'm just agreeing with you. I'm just going to agree with you on that. Amen. I'm signing on. That's right on.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Right.
Okay.
Well, let me add this for you, because I heard you said that you're not God, and you say that because of the things in which you do. You feel that it's not, for lack of a better word, becoming of what they call God. But what you have to understand, my brother, is God gave you those special skills. God gave you
right.
the ability to make people laugh. And
Amen.
A lot of, for instance, they say curse words like MF. That's just two words put together. You know what I mean? And they make it and make us feel that that is a bad word. You know, it's only certain ways, quote unquote, you could say the word hell, or else you're cursing. There's a certain way you could say damn. If you say damn in reverence to the Bible, then you're good. But if you say damn to anything else, then it's a curse word. It's what we have allowed people to control us, per se. Because you are to go out and live. When you become the best you that you can be, then you have the power to bring somebody else into that understanding. But people are afraid because they think that if they get up on the stage and they use a word that people have labeled as curse, they're automatically going to hell. And for us to, at this point in our lives, still call ourselves serving a God that is so petty, so jealous. It's just crazy for us to believe that. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me how understanding and loving and kind and forgiving God is, and then turn around and tell me that if I say the word damn, that now all of a sudden he's mad at me. If the word damn was such a bad word that it was so offensive to God, trust me, nobody would be able to say it.
Amen.
But God isn't petty like that.
Religion is a means of control.
Yes.
Right.
Religion itself is a means of control. Mm-hmm. I say that based on the fact that the Council of Nicaea. Now, I'm terrible
That's
with
right.
this, so don't ask me when it happened.
No, I'm with you.
When the Council of Nicaea met, the goal was to bring the Roman Empire under control.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, up until that point, they were feeding the people that they called Christians to the lions and
That's
forcing
right.
them to fight gladiators. They were doing all sorts of terrible things to these people. And then, after the Council of Nicaea, suddenly the Vatican is built in Rome. Suddenly, the whole Roman Empire is Catholic. You know, there's that whole thing, and you look at it from a historical standpoint, what it shows is they use that religion as a means of control, as a means
That's
of
right.
bringing a populace to one accord, to try to keep
That's
people
right.
subdued without having to use violence. Religion to this day is used as a means of control. Here in the United States, I don't know if I'm a black man, so, you know, religion, the Christian religion was brought to my people through terrorism. And we were forced to accept this religion of the people that conquered us.
Right.
Now, my people were enslaved by so-called Christians. If you read the Bible, you know, there's parts in there that say, you know, when a foreigner is among you, you know, treat them as your own. And my people were foreigners in this land. But it also says, you know, slaves, mind to your master. You know, so it's it gives contradictory messages, but that's on purpose. Because the King James Version of the Bible was translated supposedly from Aramaic to Latin to English. And a lot was lost in those translations.
That's right.
Or things
that's
put
right.
in during those translated times
right.
to support the atrocities that they were perpetrating on the rest of the world as they went about that colonialism. So
one of the things that tend to get me with especially black people because we follow the religiously and we don't we don't even check into it. As you were saying, the king had these priests get verses and put them together to create a Bible. Then they decided what would go in there and what wouldn't go in there. And everything that they decided to go in there was just a form to keep them in the control. I don't understand how a woman today can read the Bible and follow behind that. Because the woman in the Bible is kind of less than an animal.
Mm-hmm.
The woman has no rights. So if you go to a church today, 90% of them are women, and they're sitting underneath some man that had a dream, and all of a sudden, they've been called by God. And what we have to understand is we are all called by God. We all have a message for everyone.
Amen.
And it's about love. It's amazing that you have 60 zillion type of religions. And all religions are based on one thing, and that's love. And that's the one thing we don't have in the world. How can that be?
The universal message.
That's what it is. And no one pays attention to that. But now they want to pay attention to the brother because he claims to know God, but he's up on a stage cursing, making people laugh, which is definitely a good thing. Huh? You know what I mean? It's a good thing.
Yes, can I talk?
Yes, sir.
Yes, can I talk?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I thought that you are muted. Oh, sorry, I was earlier there. I appreciate all of you guys. Yes, you know, when you talk about the slavery, I mean, slavery exists today with California fires, Colorado fires, and fires in Canada. You know what they do? They use the prisoners. Yeah. And give them $1 per hour to do their job of the firefighters that they would not hire. Because why? They should hire a lot of people. They know this thing will happen, but they won't. And then instead they use prisoners as a scapegoat. And that's injustice. As long as there is injustice in the world, there is no peace in the world.
But see, when we get to injustice, when we get to things of that nature, see, that's where divine understanding comes in. And let me tell you, when I hear people say, let's get together or pray for me, or and don't get me wrong, these are terms that we're comfortable with. But I now tell people, I'll pray for you. I'll talk to God for you, but why don't you talk to yourself? I mean, because let me tell you something. He's going to hear you better than he's going to hear anybody else. It's because you already have his spirit as part of you. So when we say let's pray, yeah, talk to yourself for a minute. Talk to the God that's in you. And I guarantee you're going to find out. Sorry, that's a background noise I'm trying to locate there. Yeah, you're going to find out that he'll talk back to you. And when he talks back to you, again, it may not be lightning coming out of the sky scribing words on tablets, but you'll know. And when nothing can ever make you feel as good as knowing that you had a conversation with God and you understand that he felt your conversation. It doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? That's because you're already, and when that happens, you're already preparing yourself for what you thought you needed.
What's amazing to that, my brother, is when you say things like that, people begin to think you're a little cuckoo because you're telling them to talk, have a talk with themselves. Because, first of all, they don't understand that when they're talking to themselves, they're talking to God.
That's right.
Now,
that's
but
right.
They feel that in order for them to truly talk to God, they got to get down on their knees and do all of this and that in order for God to hear them. But when they're driving down the car, down the street, and they almost hit something and they stop, the first thing they say is, thank you, God, out
that's
loud.
Right.
They're talking to him then. And this is what we've got to understand, that God said, I am always with you. I will never leave you. He will never leave you because he can't leave you, because you are a part of him. We are all part of God's body, and we have to come to understand the power of not only who we are, but whose we are. And we are all God's children. We are all a part of the body. And as the brother stated earlier, this is just another misconception, because God is spirit. But when you talk to the chief clergy and all of that, they always want to make him out to be a man. But he's a spirit. I am that I am.
Amen.
So if he comes to one person
absolutely.
And a man, then everybody thinks that God's a man. But God is in us. We've known there's been things that we started to do, and something said to you, don't do that. That is the spirit within talking to you. And the problem is sometimes we listen to it, and sometimes we don't. And when we don't listen to it, then we turn around and blame it on the devil. It was you. It was no devil.
Right.
You didn't do what it was you were supposed to do. So don't blame it on anybody else. We have to stand up and take responsibility for our lives. But we can't truly start to do that until we start to live our lives for us. We live our lives now for everybody else. I can't do this because my mother going to look at me this way. As the brother said, my father was a preacher as well. My uncle was a preacher. My other uncle was a preacher. I had seven uncles that was a deacon.
And
that's all
uncle,
I spent was in church.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
My father, my cousin, my other cousin, my other cousin. And they asked me, because I speak so well. They said, hey, you know, you have no problem addressing crowds. You know, you look good on stage. You speak from the heart. Why is it that you can't join the family business? And my answer to that is, because I like drinking, I like cussing, and I like chasing booties. And I'm not going to stop those things. So, you know, until I...
Right.
I'm just honest, you know? That's why I'm running.
Hey, brother, let me just say this.
I
got to
listen to this. Those things that you said, I just want to tell you, I feel from within that the alcohol part, to moderation, but you have to understand what it is that alcohol does to the actual body. And so, with everything that you do, I don't have a problem with it. And not that it matters if I have a problem with it, but everything
Amen.
That you do, if you're doing it to your glory, then you've got to come to the point where you accept that this is me. The same way the pastors and the deacons and all of them accept the fact that that's them and that's the life that they want to live. And so we've got to be able to stand strong in our knowledge of who we are and live our lives so that we can be happy of it, so that we can be proud, so that when we lay our head down tonight, we can say, you know what, I put the best me forward today. Tomorrow, I'm going to try and put an even better me forward, because we do have that power to do it because of who we are. We know there have been things that we called into existence. We might turn around and give God the credit, which is fine because it's the God in us, but it is us. When we pray and we get an answer and we look around, who is it there? It is you there talking, as the brother said, to yourself. It is the God in you. But we think that it's some spooky creature sitting in on a big TV screen watching us. And we have to understand we are in control of our own destiny. God has given us this free will. And when he gave us this free will, he didn't put limitations on it. Man came along and started putting limitations on it so that they can control us, so that they can keep their hands in your pocket. God is about love, but you go to a church and you're going to hear more about an offering and money than you hear about anything else. I do understand that money is necessary to make things work, but this is more their talk than anything else. And then they try to scare you with this hell and damnation and all of that. And that's just crazy. Why would God throw his own self into hell? Because when you die, the only thing left is your soul, the spirit of God that dwells within you.
Amen.
That's the only thing left. The body is going to the ground.
Amen, brother.
So that soul is going right back to which it came. But they want us to think, because we didn't make it to Sunday school the last 3 weeks, we might end up in hell.
Right.
You know,
may I say something?
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. You know, either we kill all the wars, or war will kill all mankind. This is the destiny of the humanity today. And if which way we go, it all depends to all the humanity, whether we want.
Hello? Did we lose the brother?
Hello? I think so. I was trying to hear him, but.
Yeah, go ahead, Jerry. What's your thought?
You know, I live in Columbus, Ohio. And in this city, when I first moved here in 1992, you know, like I said, I come from a church background. My people were, you know, got to find a church home. And I'll never forget, there was one church I attended. And we walked into this church, and you walk down this hall in this church. And as you walk down this hall, you see these movie poster-sized photographs of the pastors. And in each photo, he's wearing a custom suit, custom shoes, fur, and leaned against a different luxury car. Now, each of these luxury cars have a license plate with his name on them, and they say so-and-so one, so-and-so two, so-and-so seven, and it's about eight of these lined up down the hall.
Wow.
And these luxury cars, if you add up the value of these luxury cars, it exceeds $1 million. And I think to myself, this church is in the hood. It's in a in a area where there's people can't even eat tonight. And this pastor had the audacity to put that on the wall. And I was offended by it. And folks asked me, you know, like I said, I believe in God. I don't believe in church. I'm not a big church person. Because I don't remember nowhere in my Bible where Jesus charged anybody for the word.
Amen.
I didn't see that nowhere in it. I remember him going in the temple and kicking over the vendors and telling them, get up out my
daddy's
house.
Setting it straight.
So that he wasn't that dude that we see on TV with the long straggle with the hair and the dirty feet. That wasn't Jesus.
But you know what, my brother?
If he existed, he had to be a brother with an afro. Kind of like me. And he had to be a brother with an afro with some strong arms because he was throwing stuff over.
Let me say this to you, my brother. When they want us to think of Jesus, you know, and I noticed when we said alcohol earlier, if you read the book, I'm not certain. I'm not a scholar. But I kind of remember the first miracle that the prophet did was what?
Water.
Let me start with this now. I'm not saying anybody should be an alcoholic because excess of anything is not good. But if that's the first recorded miracle of he who we desire to be like, because if you call yourself a Christian, that means follower of Christ. So if that's his first, how could you begin to even have a problem with people drinking? We should be able to. No, and I don't either. We should be able to bring drink to the meeting that they call church. I mean, again, because these are his works.
That's what they had for the Last Supper. They had bread and wine, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yep.
The Last Supper.
You'll have
that
Last Supper at my house.
And it has antitoxin for the heart. It has antitoxin for the heart and etc. And sorry, I was disconnected because sometimes we disconnect. But you know, my friends, you know, either humanity has two direction at this time. Either we kill all the wars, or the war will kill all of us. And we until we do not realize that humankind is one, we will have problems, we will have conflict, and we have disunity is danger to the whole mankind right now. And so it's up to the humanity, or natural disasters, or man-made disasters, earthquakes, fires, tornadoes, hurricanes can reshape the whole globe. And then then everybody say, well, I'm sorry, I wish I would know humankind is one 50 years ago, 100 years ago, so we would be much better shape than now. But, you know, it's up to all of us.
It's up. You're so correct. It's up to all of us. But what we have to understand is we don't have to get the masses. All we have to do, the brother Michael made a song and it said, take a look at the man in the mirror. So if you make that change for yourself, as a matter of fact, he said it in the song, make that change. So it's each and every one of us, make a change. Now, if nobody else don't come with me, it's okay. But I can tell you this, if you make that change and stand firm to that change, somebody is going to see your good work and understand that it's something bigger than you. So we can't say, well, ain't nobody going to do it. We all must make that change, because we're not the only ones like this that know that what has been being fed to us is not the real God.
Right.
Nope.
We're not the only ones. So we got to take that stand. But what happens is, because we feel like it's only two or three of us, we don't do anything. But we have to remember, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. They say that all the time, but they don't understand it. They always like to say, the Jesus in me. But then they turn around waiting for Jesus to come back. If he's in you, where is he coming back to? He's already here. And one of the things... That's right. And one of the things they have to understand, they got Jesus on the super pedestal. And what you have to understand is Jesus was no different than you and I. The only difference between Jesus and you is the fact that Jesus knew who he was. And because of what we've been taught all of these years, we're not sure. But that is the only difference. And this is the same exact words that Jesus told us. And Jesus knew that we didn't have the faith to believe it, so he said, ask in my name then. Whatever you want, just ask in my name, because you guys are so, you just can't understand what I'm trying to tell you, that you don't believe. When Peter got out of the boat and walked on water with Jesus, Jesus didn't perform no miracle to make him walk. Peter did it, according to the story. Peter did that because Peter had the same authority that Jesus had. Peter just couldn't believe it. The woman that had the issue of blood that just touched the hem of his garment, Jesus didn't say he healed her. He said, your faith healed you. So Jesus is trying to tell us that we possess the same thing, the same essence, because we were all created in the image of God because of the God in us. There is nothing that we can't do.
Yes, and we are all equal to each other. Nobody is superior. Nobody is superiority. But unfortunately, you know, we have it in the Europe, I mean, we have it all over the world. I mean, certain elements of the society always, you know, try to say is, for example, you know, the social countries only belong to us. No. It's not belong to all the people that already
right.
in it. And the first people, for example, in the United States is the Native Indians, and it goes
Amen.
To South America. Those are the very true people of the USA, not any other people. All other are, we are all immigrants in this country. I mean, my grandparents came to this country. They work and, you know, and change the shape of the, for example.
I hear what you're saying, but I want us to understand this, that because of who we are not immigrants anywhere. Why? Because as we put this together. When we come to
Amen.
Understand who we are, we'll understand that all of this was made by us because of who we are. And it's not crazy for us to understand that whatever it is that you want, you can have. But what you have to understand is that there is a procedure that you have to follow. You can't say, I want $1 million, and in the back of your head saying, ain't no way I'm going to get $1 million, and think it's coming to you. Jesus said, it's your faith. It's what you believe. And when you come to believe just who you are, then you won't doubt. Jesus said, ask in my name and doubt not. And I'll tell you this, you can ask in your very own name and doubt not, and it will be yours because of who you are. And I know it's easy for us to say, and then because of our upbringing, we tend to fall back on it. On some of the things that we've been brought up, because we've been doing it most of our lives, so you just don't change overnight. But we've got to break, as Paul said, we've got to renew our minds to understand just who we are. And we can't go on further until we know this. As long as we walk around here thinking that we are filthy rags born in this sin, we can't stand up straight. We're hunched over because we seem like we feel as if we're already doomed. But we are part of a royal priesthood. We have the authority to do whatever we would like. And if you think about our lives growing up, we've done some things. We've done some things that people didn't think we'd do, but we did them.
Nope. So did.
And some of the things we did turned out to be pretty good. Some of them not so good, but we're still here. And you know what I mean? So if what I did was so bad that God was ready to throw me into hell?
Nah.
Yeah,
no. When he has the authority over all of this.
That's right. But there is no
God left commandments. God gave us 10 commandments that none of us follow, and that's okay?
Right.
Ten commandment thing. If God commands you to do something, you better believe you're going to do it.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right. No choice.
So
that's right.
What those 10 commandments were a commitment. What God was saying, when we come to know who we really are, those are the things that we won't do once we come to know who we are. But he didn't command us not to do them, because if God commanded us to do them, we could not do them. And I don't understand how people still think that we are so above God. And what they do is, instead of us trying to be more like God, they make God try to be more like us. God's not petty. God is a jealous God. Jealous of what? If you are God, what are you jealous of?
What you got to be jealous of?
Right.
Nothing. There's nothing greater than you.
That's
Amen.
Right. And
There's
you
nothing
know
greater
it.
Than God. So
That's
what can
right.
you be? What can you be jealous of? You know, again,
and whatever it is that you're saying I'm jealous of, guess what? I created it.
That's right. There you go.
So I created something that's going to make me jealous?
Mm-mm.
I created the angels to praise me, and then one day they got mad and said they're not praising me no more. How is that so? These stories that they tell us on a daily basis, and if we would just stop and hear what it is that they're saying, you would want to say, you got to be outside your mind if you want me to believe this. Mm. What do I got, stupid, just written all over? No, it's faith. No, it's not faith. That's just being ignorant. This is why they call us sheep, because we just follow blindly. But it's time
to open up our eyes and let the blind ears.
Let them hear. Let them hear what saith the Lord, and what the Lord says he's going to tell you. Does it make any sense that God is within you and he gonna tell somebody that live across town in a high rise and you living down in the dump, he gonna tell somebody in a high rise what he wants you to do? And it seems like everything he wants you to do is give the guy in the high rise more of your money.
Amen. There you go.
And that's the reason why you in the dump, because you keep giving him the money so he can line up the wall with pictures of him in his houses and cars. When do we wake up? Because
right.
We got this blind faith, but we got this blind faith on some stupidity. And we can see right before our eyes how we're taking our very last and making other people rich, and then we give him, God bless us, to bring home $100. And he automatically requires I give him 10 back? Why didn't he just give me 90 in the first place?
Amen.
Right.
But because we allow these people to get inside our heads and dictate our lives for us, we follow behind it. I'm not telling nobody not to give to the church, because I know it takes money, but don't do it under the auspice that this is a requirement from God. That $100 that God gave you, it was tickle his soul to see you take that $100 and buy a homeless person a meal. And it won't even, if you want to spend $1, $2, but use that to help somebody instead of building fund. Go ahead, my brother.
If I might, most of the money that we give is for superficial things that you don't need. You don't need to go to a $5 or $6 million building to praise God. If you read,
or don't.
Yeah, if you read the book you call your guide, you don't see Jesus having any of these things.
Right.
I mean, none of these things. He walks. And if you really go back into the book, it gives you instructions. Now, again, this was where some of the book to the pastor is good and some ain't. But it gives you instructions on how to be a preacher. What he tell you? Don't stay anywhere long. And don't take a lot of stuff with you, because I'm going to have somebody there to make sure you're housed, to make sure you're fed. So the necessities, because you are a follower of me, I'm going to make sure that's prepared for you. But what we did was, I need my own house, and I'm not going to stay long, because this G4 that my congregation bought me, they're going to be start flying back home tonight. But again, it turned into a money game. But if people would just stop and realize the awesome ability they have within each and every one of us, we would understand that you could go to church, but it would be a fellowship. It's not mandatory that I go Wednesday night prayer service, Thursday night Bible study, Friday night YPWW, Sunday morning Sunday school, Sunday afternoon. I mean, that's not necessary, because what happens is, if you think about it, so in other words, God created a generation of people to do nothing but serve him. Now what if anybody you know, say, let's go to your job, and I'm not trying to minimize God, I'm giving an example. You go to your job, and every day your boss comes through, you got to stop, pay homage to him. Hey, I mean, you got to go through all of this just to keep your job. What would you think of your boss? He'd be an egotistical, you fill in the blank. But now we're going to believe that the creator of all
this. Let the comedian do it. Because he like using bad words.
I do.
You're living in fun, bro. You're an asshole. That's what you are. That's just what it is.
I ain't got no fault. I don't have a job. There's a reason for that.
But but again, and back to you, my brother, let me tell you, when you were a DJ, everybody can't be a DJ. When you're a comedian, right. You know, everybody can't do that. So, again, we have to stop and recognize that I have a skill. So the fact that I have a skill means that's my gift. And if that's my gift, that's what I'm going to do with it.
That's right.
Very few people in life are blessed enough, and usually it requires a struggle, to do what they enjoy doing.
Amen to that.
Yeah,
you know,
we do what... Go ahead, bro.
Getting to this point in life was a journey. You know, I'm not no young guy. You know, I've been through a lot of stuff in my life and, you know, been tore my body in different ways because I don't work a lot, you know. But when I got to the point where I my body couldn't do the hard work that it did anymore, you know, that hobby of mine, which was DJing, you know, helped me pay some bills, kept my shoes on my children. You know, I'm 53 years old. I got 7 kids. I got my youngest kid is 3. You know, the comedy thing, that kind of happened because in my DJing life, I've always been the guy who entertained the crowd when I'm doing what I do. And I got a friend who's a comedian, and she convinced me to get on stage. She said, go ahead and be you. And I said, you know, but I'm dirty. She said, do you. So I got on stage, and the reaction was positive. You know, sure, I hurt the feelings of some short guys. Hey, you short, I can't help it. You know, I made a short joke. I made a lot of them, actually. But,
can somebody mute his mic, please?
you want to go out short,
you know,
okay.
I'm 6'4", you know. Short guys got no reason to be jealous. I can't ride this so far. You know, these things look like fun. But I'm just saying, you know, it took a journey to find those things that have always brought me joy, but to realize that those things had a monetary value. You know, because I did those things just for me. So I would continue to do those things. So it's not a job. It's just part of who I am. So I don't have a job. I don't have a boss. I turn down gigs because I know that some folks I won't be able to work with. I know that, so I do. But I have the freedom to do so. See, because when you work every day, you ain't free.
That's right.
Because you give your time and your energy to someone else. And it's an unfair trade that I'm supposed to work, you know, 50 to 60 years. And then at the end of that 50 or 60 years, when my body is beat up and banged up and I can't dance anymore and I can't hunched over and I walk hunched over, that now I got 15 years left in my life and this is when I'm supposed to have fun. No. Life was a gift. I was supposed
That's
to enjoy
right.
it in the very session it was given to me.
Amen.
The second I leave here. So
exactly.
I'm not going to give my life up to everybody and everything. Everybody can't get my energy. I can't do that. You know, and like you said, God is within you. You know, I'm a hip-hop junkie, grew up in the hip-hop world. You know, Run DMC said, I'm down with the king. And then the song, DMC said, if the G-O-D be in me, then it's God I be. You know, so it's the truth.
That's right.
Hey, 1 second, brother. You know what? Let me also just fill the cast in on. Dre is over at an AM radio station that Sister Purr,
Internet radio station.
Yeah, so Sister Tippy and I went over and took a look at it, and we're probably going to have some conversation as we grow our podcast that we may be coming over and broadcast on the internet station.
Cool.
Hey, awesome.
What's the name for
the whole world? It's WTMH Radio. We have an app available. WTMH, Welcome to My Hood Radio. That's how you know who we are. WTMH Media is our app. You can download it in the Apple Store or in the Android Store. And my show is the Black Eye Underground Show. I'm on every Tuesday, where some days I just make jokes all day. Other days I get a little deep and philosophical. But every day I'm on there, I say a couple cuss words only because I can't help myself.
But you know, like I said, so that's where Brother Dre comes in at, and so we'll be having some meetings on that. But Brother Messenger, as we hit our 5-minute mark, you want to go ahead and start to wrap the show up?
All right. I just want to say to my brother, stop when you're doing that and you're using what you call curse words. Stop feeling as if it's not right. Because if you think about it, 90% of the jokes that you use, and when you use those words, that's some of the stuff you get the biggest laughter from.
Mm-hmm.
So
how
bad could it really be? It's just what they want you to believe. And this is what we, as people that know who we are, we have to stop living our lives to please other people, because then we're not living our lives. We're living the lives that they want us to live. And so this is what we have to stop doing. We have to live each day for ourselves to make ourselves the best person that we can be. So I thank each and every one of you that came on today. We will have another half an hour podcast on Thursday at 10 o'clock. I thank you all for coming out tonight, and we'll be back here again.
Thank you very much.
Well, every week at 10 o'clock. Hopefully our board is starting to get a little longer. We want to get more people in here and have more discussion and see if we can just get somebody not to believe anything that we say, but just to be able to sit down and have that conversation with themselves so that the God in them can start talking and they can stop walking around here in darkness trying to please someone who don't really care about them.
Amen.
They just want you to be what they want you to be.
Absolutely.
And you've got to be what you want to be. And the best job in the world is a job that you love to do, bro.
Hey, ain't that the truth? I learned that the hard way.
And to get paid for it, what more can you ask for?
Huh? Amen.
By the way, I'll send you my tape. I got some jokes.
You don't probably charge me for them jokes. I'm just saying.
hey, we're just calling it a tithe. You tithe me for my jokes, man. 10%.
All right, we'll work it out. All right. Everybody, thanks for letting me come on and talk a little trash.
I just feel my world
truly
colliding. Amen.
All right.
Thank you, brother. Hold on one second. Brother Dre, where you from?
I'm from Jersey, but I live in Columbus, Ohio.
See, we still got all Jersey and one man from Singapore. All right. So Dre out of Jersey, too, y'all.
All right.
Yes. I live in Columbus, Ohio, though. So.
Oh, we all do.
We know.
I'm
okay.
Sorry. Time, slow down. Yeah, I'm in
Jersey. No, y'all do. I'm still in Jersey.
I'm sorry. 50% of the crew is in Columbus, and 50% is in Ohio, and then we have my man out in Singapore.
All right. Well, that's what's up.
And I
worldwide.
Appreciate you,
that's
all of you.
Worldwide.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
We trying to grow it, man.
Yes.
You can take the girl out of Jersey.
That's
right.
You can't take the jersey out the girl.
The other girl. That's right.
Hey, well, listen.
The girl's best in the world.
All right, as we bring our podcast to a close, I do thank everyone. Wait a minute, I'm trying to. We have a customary close that we. Okay, I'm sorry. I was slipping. Yeah.
Were you napping?
No, I just had. I didn't have my glasses on. I couldn't find a track, but I'm good now.
16 napping.
Hey, but listen again. I thank everyone for coming out, allowing us to share what we believe is God's true plan for us. We believe on this podcast, that God is within each and every one of us. He requires nothing at all from any of us. He's the giver. We are not here to give God anything except for the life that we live. He is not a needy God. He is not a jealous God. I mean, he is a spirit that dwells within us, and there is no need for you to think that if you don't customarily serve him in the organized manner which you've been taught, that you're not connected to him. We're definitely here to tell you that's just false. Understand that you are as powerful. In fact, the prophet Jesus himself even said, you will be more powerful than I am. So let's unlimit ourselves and live in our full potential. Hey, this is Kenny. This is the co-producer signing off the Hodge and Hodge podcast. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.
Everybody, stay blessed. All right. All right.
And wrap. That's a wrap.